And the index of our honesty is our willingness before God to take the means, knowing full well they're going to cost. Peace. One of the best, in fact, the best way of distinguishing between temptations and graces is to find out whether they bring peace or anxiety to my soul. I cannot tell you how important in my own life has been what I will share with you in the next 10 or so minutes. In the nature of things, no matter how equipped you may be with spiritual directors, and in the nature of things, just sheer disproportion of numbers, you don't get that much, you don't have access to that much immediate, ready at hand, human spiritual direction. Let's not forget the principal director of our soul dwells within our hearts. This is the way he directs us. When he speaks, and when we wish to know whether it is he who is leading us and not his enemy trying to mislead us, let's remind ourselves that the sound of grace is peace. The form of grace is peace. The taste of grace is peace. The effect of grace is peace. Or, summarily, the name of grace is peace. It is not a casual title of Christ when we call him the Prince of Peace. It was not a coincidence, but a divinely foreordained plan from eternity that his first words, the moment he rose from the dead, having redeemed the world on the cross, that he commanded his disciples, and that means us, peace be with you. On the other hand, temptations of the evil spirit are the opposite. The evil spirit causes confusion, doubt, insecurity, despondency, anxiety, worry, and, if we allow him, despair. Is it any wonder that St. John, under divine inspiration, should simply distinguish the Word of God by calling him the light and identify the evil spirit as the prince of darkness? And we know what happens when we're in darkness. We grope, we stumble, we don't want to move. All our muscles and all our faculties are intact, but darkness paralyzes us. We dare not move because we don't know where we're going. Reread, remeditate on those passages, especially in John, the master evangelist of discernment of spirits. From the beginning of his gospel, through his letters, and his apocalypse. Notice, of course, that there must have been, and that's why I anticipated what I am saying now, there must be the previous attitude of a readiness to do God's will. Otherwise, we cannot be sure, and God will not allow us to be that clear in recognizing him. And how many times Jesus, remember in speaking to the crowds, "Why do you not listen to me?" Talk about grace. This was the Son of God talking, infinite truth, speaking to men. You know what he told them? "Because your hearts are not right." Am I clear? It is the right disposition of soul. Sin or no sin in the past, and we've all got it. We're all sinners. We're all the same. It's only a matter of degree of sinfulness. But that utter sincerity, the willingness, and what miracles Christ worked, remember, in the body in order to reach the spirit, he'll work the same in us, provided we are disposed, ready, willing. Lord, speak. Notice, too, lest we forget, that this peace may involve suffering. It will surely involve effort. It will involve trial. And, of course, the cross. Who said peace of soul is incompatible with the cross? Incompatible, that's what the Beatitudes are all about. It's those eight, humanly speaking, incompatibilities. Substitute peace for happiness, and you've got it. Finally, confidence. The last element in reflecting on this very crucial element in the religious life is great confidence in God that he does not deceive his elect. If the precondition for being able to distinguish inspiration from temptation is the ready willingness to do God's will, the sustained attitude, once we know what God wants us to do, having motivated ourselves as to why he wants us to do it, and having with his grace found out how we should carry it into effect, the sustained, I don't know what word to use, post-condition, which must continue, is confidence. Otherwise, we're going to weaken. Our knees are going to give in. Christ told us, and this is the source of our confidence, "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Now, the next one. "You believe in God." The word "believe" in Greek is "you trust in God." Trust in me. He wants us to trust him implicitly. This is the guarantee of perseverance. In his grace, once we have discovered that it is his grace, once then we have decided what God wants, we are to go ahead, and he warns us not to look back, which I sometimes paraphrase, not to look inside, not to look at ourselves, or re-examine what we've done, but trust implicitly. You see, and the saints are all eloquent in telling us this, God treats his friends kindly. He will never inspire us to do more than with his grace we can carry through. Lord Jesus, make me open to your grace. Let me trust you, since I know I cannot trust myself, but very well, since you told me to trust, because you have overcome the world, why shouldn't I, hand in hand with you, trust that I too, with your grace, will overcome not only the world or the devil, but also my own inclinations. This is the key to spiritual growth. Complete honesty with God, then doing what we know he wants us to do, and then letting go, trusting him that he will not fail us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you.